Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. No one? He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. The word lynching came from his last name. His methods were very simple, but they were diabolical. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind. Because obviously, you have lost it.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logic.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
You know, folks, I'm beginning to think that the year is almost over. I'm beginning to think that years are more in six month periods as opposed to 12 month periods. It's already June. June 13th, folks. June 13th, 2012. Before you know it, 2013 will be here. Trust me on that. Time is moving faster than one would ever think. Nevertheless, there's always time for us. Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The time, 7.02 p.m., the call-in number, 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620. By the way, being that it is June, it is Black Music Month, and we're all about the Muzak here, so without further ado, let's get into the funk. This is rock and roll, a little bit of education there, folks, a little bit of edutainment, I should say. Rock and roll by Mos Def. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
Alert the squad.
Rock roll.
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 My grandmama was raised on a reservation. My great-grandmama was from a plantation. They sang songs for inspiration. They sang songs for relaxation. They sang songs to take their minds up off that fucked up situation. I am, yes, I am the descendant of those folks who backs got broke, who fell down inside the gun smoke.
Black people,
jeans on their ankles and feet. I am descendants of the builders of your streets.
Black people,
descendants to your cotton money. I am hip hop.
Heavy metal for the black people.
I am rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Rock and roll.
Been here forever. They just ain't let you know. I said Elvis Presley ain't got no soul. Chuck Berry is rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
You may dig on the Rolling Stones, but they ain't come.
like that style and ain't a rock.
Elvis Presley ain't got no soul.
Hell no.
Little Richard is rock and roll.
Rock, damn, right.
You may dig on the Rolling Stones, but they ain't come up with that shit on their own. Guess that's just the way you go. Steal my clothes and try to say they yo.
Yes, they do.
Business is so filled with pimps and hoes. Trying to take everything that you made to control.
There they go.
Elvis Presley ain't got no soul. Bo Diddley is rock and roll.
Rock, damn, right.
You made it on the Rolling Stones. But they ain't the first place the credit belongs. Say, whoa, oh, gon' take it. Ooh, we go back to
rock,
say, whoa, oh, gon' take it.
Limp Bizkit.
When I get down at my zone, I be rocking
Bad Brains and Fishbone.
I ain't trying to slow your groove, but that ain't the way I'm trying to move. I don't turn on corn and get it on. I be playing Jimmy Hendrix to the dawn. That's my world's born. Sitting up on my front lawn. Got the volume.
All right, we're back. A game that was the Mighty Mos Def, a.k.a. Yasiin Bey, Yasiin Bey. And that is Rock and Roll by Mos Def. Folks, Afner featuring Captain Kirk, and the other half of this team is needed. Captain, your time is on the bridge. Let's go.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Okay, just to switch gears for a moment, I have a two-dimensional diatribe that I'm going to get into quickly, just to switch gears a little bit. Now, I'm going to talk about the LeBron James haters. Yes. LeBron James needs no introduction. But in case you don't know who he is, for whatever reason, you could be underneath a rock. Even if you're not into sports, more than likely you will know who LeBron James is. My mother knows who LeBron James is, and she's not into sports. LeBron James is a professional basketball player that plays for the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat is an NBA basketball team right now that's in the finals, down one to OKC, Oklahoma Thunder, as of right now. So that's who LeBron James is. Now, people are going back and forth about LeBron James, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that. No one, from my standpoint, has given me a legitimate reason to hate this man, LeBron James. Hate is a very, very, very strong word. Very, very strong word. I can see if you dislike, you know, you don't like the fact he did this, you don't like the fact. When you start talking hate, hate is very strong. You understand? Like on the show, sometimes we might say hate thugs, and we do hate thugs, you know? And some people might say hate racists, and people do hate racists. But to go ahead and hate LeBron James, you don't know the man really to hate him. So let's get into it. The best reason, and I thought it was comical, someone said to me, I hate LeBron James because he didn't go to college. Oh, really? Kevin Garnett didn't go to college. Kobe Bryant didn't go to college. Now, let's talk about college and the professional athlete. Okay? Let's talk about it a little bit, just briefly. Now, the main reason basketball players and football players go through the college system is for two reasons. One, in case their dream mindscape does not work out, because most of these men are dreamers, they get a college degree, they have something to fall back on. Okay, even though it might be an artsy degree or something like that, but still, it is a college degree. But also, too, another half of that is that you have to hone your skills normally. Most of these players are not ready at the age of 17, 18 to make the jump into the professional league. So they need more time in order for their bodies and their skills to develop. That's the reason going, those two reasons. Now, if you're gifted enough that you can bypass the foolishness in that case, meaning which, not 100 grand. If someone comes to you when you're 17, 18 and says, sign on the dotted line, I'm going to give you 100 grand for go college and go professional. No. You go to college, my friend. That's what you do. But if someone says, here's 10 million and you did not start playing in the professional league yet, skip college, you go right to the pros. Let me tell you why. I'll explain critical thinking to you really quickly. You go to college that year, you blow out your knee, you never see that 10 million again. You're working a job, coming out of that school, 40 grand a year. Good luck, baby. And you talking about has-been. That's critical thinking. You understand? That's critical thinking. So do not hate on these particular individuals because they are not you. These are extremely gifted individuals, and because if you're gifted and you come through the right system, you will get an opportunity to do great things. And the main reason why football players and basketball players are the most educated athletes is because they come through this system. Now, not to go off on a tangent, but it's tangentially related. Let's look at baseball. Now, they don't talk about it. Baseball, a lot of these baseball players, most of them don't have any college. And a lot of them, now let me say a lot, some of them don't have a high school diploma. They don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. Why? Why they don't talk about it? A lot of baseball players are white, right? They're very white, you know. Don't want to mess up the good old boy network. But you're going to talk about what the black man is doing over here, what you've been doing for the longest, okay? You're going to talk about that. Now, when they go get some of these players from Venezuela, Santo Domingo, you don't know what they're into. They might have a sixth-grade education. They're playing in a minor league down there. You don't know. Outside of Cuba, because Cuba is a very educated population. Check that out. You know, that's what one of the things Castro was doing that America was hating on. You know, the population is very educated. They're very literate over there. That's a whole other thing, okay? But you don't know what they're getting into over there. But no one talks about it. It's okay for baseball, but it's not okay for basketball and football. Black, and one is more white, though don't get me wrong, there's a lot of black baseball players, of course, but there's a lot of white faces also in baseball. So there's something for people to think about. Okay, so let's not hate on LeBron. Let LeBron do his own thing, and let's just enjoy the great athletic ability of this young man, and, you know, just move on. And keep in mind now, Kobe Bryant didn't go to college. Kevin Garnett, been in the league 18 years, 36 years of age, did not go to college. And that's just to name a few. There's a few. But most of those players attend college, have some college, or they finish college. And that's the reality of it. Now, moving right along, I want to talk about hip-hop music briefly. I can remember in a time when hip-hop slash rap music was Ivy League. What do I mean by that? When we talk Ivy League, Ivy League is supposed to be the highest forms of college education, university education that we have here in the land, correct? Sometimes they say the learning there is not really that good, but the paper that they give you gets you very far, right? You have to be Ivy League. Hip-hop music and rap music was Ivy League, meaning which you had to be elite in order to do it. They just didn't let anybody in. You have to have a certain skill level. You have to have a certain presence. You have to freestyle. You have to be able to rock parties. You have to go through all the steps in order to become a hip-hop slash rap artist. Today, hip-hop slash rap music is high school dropout level. It's not community college. It's high school dropout level. They let anybody in. Let anybody in. There's no qualification. When you go for a job today, most jobs, they're going to say, okay, you got to have high school diploma, certain amount of years experience. It might say you need a bachelor's degree, a certain amount of years experience. It might even say you might have to have a master's for this. It might even say we need someone here with a PhD in order to do this. It's qualifications. There's no qualifications for this garbage right now at all. That's the length of my diatribe. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd. There you go.
Yes, sir. We appreciate your insight, definitely. Folks, you're listening to Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The time is 7:14 p.m. The call-in number, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Let me just go down the litany of topics for this evening, and then we'll just get into it. Number one, picking up from where we left off in the last program, I wanted to talk about this notion of the gay agenda versus the African American slash black agenda. I think there's something going on, or there has been, but now it's reaching to a certain level. regarding the realm of political access. Both groups are vying for positions or positioning. And I'm of the notion that, just from my own personal observation, that it appears that the gay folks have come up with being the face of the civil rights movement circa 2012. That's just my opinion, but they're not slacking. Going by appearances, folks, they're not slacking, whereas we appear to be slacking as African Americans. So I want to talk about that. Secondly, this is June, and it is Black Music Month. I think the correct terminology now, with Barack Obama in office, is actually called African American Music Appreciation Month. It started with Jimmy Carter during his presidency, I think in 79, if I'm not mistaken, as Black History Month. I'm sorry, Black Music Month. I knew I was going to make that mistake. Black Music Month. Now it's called African American Music Appreciation Month. So we're going to talk about that. And maybe I might have to dovetail off of what the captain just stated regarding hip-hop, but I don't necessarily want to take a dump on hip-hop today. There's always another show and another show and another show. So be that as it may. Also, Jesse Ventura, former governor, wrestler, entertainer, author now. He's written several books. He has a book called Democrats and the Republicans. Democrats and the Republicans. Republicans. He comes up with this notion that the political process, that the two-party system is very much in the same vein, operates in the same vein or similar vein as the Bloods and the Crips. So we have to get into this. I think that's a fascinating notion, a fascinating allegory. So we're going to talk about that. Also, we have to talk about this thing. I got more on the gay stuff. You have the AKAs, Alpha Kappa Alphas, historically a historical Black sorority. They may be getting sued by Black gay men, because according to these men, they are being discriminated against because the AKAs are refusing their membership. Last time I checked, Captain, a sorority is for women. A fraternity is for men. But these men want to join a female organization. President Obama, what did you get us into? What did you get us into? I'm trying to be tribal. Not so tribal. I'll be tribal this one moment. Brother, speaking to the president, what did you get us into? We'll talk about it. We will talk about it. All right. First up, Captain, I want to talk about this notion of the gay agenda versus the African-American agenda. Political agenda. This has been going on for a little bit. I think it actually dates back maybe around 2008, 2009. There was a point where there was this term or this statement or phrase that was gay is the new black. And I think it originates somewhere around 2008, 2009. Gay is the new black. There's been this thing for many years about gay folks trying to liken their struggle to the African-American / civil rights struggle. And many, I would say we will probably be of the same sort. Not the case. Everyone has their own struggle. I don't feel comfortable likening their struggle with the African-American struggle. The gay struggle has a lot to do with behavior. The black struggle has a lot to do with the physicality of blackness, of skin tone, of skin color, and everything attached to that. On site, you can be treated and have been treated in a certain way, in a discriminatory way, historically, because of what you look like, a prejudice based on that. Dealing with sexual issues, that's That's an intimate thing behind closed doors. No one has to know what you do behind closed doors. Theoretically, maybe someone gay can explain this to me, but I'm just saying that what's going on in your private life, sexuality is a private matter, just intrinsically is a private matter. So we don't know what you do. That should not have anything to do with you going to school, going to work, public accommodations, those kind of things. I don't see where one sexuality has something to do with that. What black folk have had to deal with for centuries, and especially in the immediate 20th century going into the 21st century, being treated a certain way on site. Now, my thoughts on this came to a hilt based, and this is why I believe we went into this last show. I picked up, well, actually, I actually have a subscription to Complex Magazine. I've said many times on the show that I consider myself to be a sneakerhead. I love sneakers. I love collecting sneakers, along with all kinds of things, comic books, magazines, what have you, the collector spirit in me. So I collect sneakers, and I pick up Complex Magazine. I'm thumbing through the magazine, and I see that Ray-Ban has this new ad campaign with the tagline, "Never hide, never hide." I almost missed the political endeavors from this ad because I was thumbing through it, and I had to look at it twice to catch it. The first thing you see, because it's basically showing you three or four different examples of intimacy, and they seem to have this faux historical element to it. It's a grayish-looking newsreel type of look. And in this grayish newsreel type of look, it gives the impression that it's a 1940s, 1950s circa ad with a typical business street. Could have easily been Wall Street 1950. You see men in suits, men and women in suits, but the main figures, the two that you see that are emblazoned in this ad are two men in business suits holding hands. Now, I would have easily missed it, but I had to take a double look and say, wait a minute, uh-oh, what's up with that? Then it says, never hide. You flip the page, they have late 1960s hippie culture kind of look, and you have a man and a woman, flower kids, flower children kissing each other and so forth. But obviously, the one that really has more of a controversial edge to it would be the same-sex element of it. So I'm looking at this thing, and I said, wow, this is the 21st century. They are really trying to push this. Now, on some level, I understand it. That, okay, these folks want to be treated like everybody else. There's nothing here. Let's move along. All right, whatever. My issue is, this agenda is, on some level, pushing aside the black agenda. In 2012, there are still things that appear to be peculiar when put in a black context. I saw Prometheus. We discussed this on the Comic Shop show. Saw Prometheus this past weekend with Idris Elba, and he was played the captain, and also Charlize Theron. Two attractive people, no big deal. They're actors. They're doing their business. They're doing their work. They're acting. Thespians. There's a scene that really, in 2012, is supposed to be a rather nonchalant, there's nothing here, let's move along, it's a nothing scene. A scene of setting up an intimate moment. Somewhat comical. Charlize comes in. It's a spaceship. We know what it's about. It's a spaceship. It's about aliens. It's an alien prequel, reboot, what have you. She comes in as a boss. He's the captain. She's making small talk. And he says in a kind of suave bowler, swaggerish way, hey, you know, there's an easier way to get laid. There's an easier way to get laid. I'm paraphrasing. That's what he essentially says. She gives him that look, the man and a woman, and she says, all right, be in my cabin in 10 minutes. Of course, I rubbed my hands together. I said, okay. Brother man's about to lay it down. That's what Afro Nerd says in his head. Anyway, the next scene, nothing. Nothing. Now, I'm not into vulgarity. I'm not into overt. It's a rated R movie. It doesn't have to be hypersexual. It's intimated that these two had some kind of sexual liaison. But why are we intimating what the business of men and women, irrespective of ethnicity or skin tone? Why are we intimating this in 2012? Black intimacy, black sexuality is still controversial. There's certain things that we still cannot see for some reason. It's very, very peculiar. We saw this kind of thing in the 50s. I can't recollect the movie. It came out in 1959 with Harry Belafonte, and he played with two other actors. It was, I forgot the name of the movie, but it's a sci-fi flick. I'll look it up after a musical break. But it dealt with a similar context. But in this case, there was no one left on Earth. No one left on Earth. Just a white female, white male, black male. 1959. So you know what's going to happen here. Three people remain on this Earth. One female. Something's got to give. There's going to be some tension. We are still seeing things being intimated when it comes down to black sexuality, to black romance, interracial romance. We're still seeing things being intimated, being alluded to in 2012. That movie I just told you about is over 50 years old with Harry Belafonte. We're in 2012, and we are still seeing the same type of meme. And yet we can see men holding hands in an ad. Why is the black thing the more controversial thing in 2012? And this picture, talking about Prometheus, is so supposed to be set in 2091, I think. 2091, 2093. So it's even 80 years into the future from today, and they're still intimating black sexuality? But the gay folks can hold hands publicly in an ad that they're pushing. They're pushing that, but we cannot see black normalcy with that same degree of impetus being pushed. I find it very odd. Captain, any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't want to assume anything, but what is the gay agenda? I need that somewhat defined. I need that somewhat defined. What is the gay agenda to a certain extent? You know, without me just going ahead and assuming anything. You know, because really, being that I'm not gay, I will have to make an assumption. And you know what happens when you start to assume? You can get things wrong. What the gay agenda is. So that being said, let me go ahead. Okay? This is an assumption. I think homosexuals, quote unquote, want equal rights, the same rights that heterosexuals have. And also, just as you see in ads, heterosexual relationships being pushed, men and women kissing, that's heterosexual, they want to be able to do the same thing. I understand that, but let's look at the rules of a democracy. Democracy, majority rules. According to statistics, people hate when I pull that out, but statistics are very hard to refute. They say only 3%, but let's go as far as 6% of the population is actually homosexual. So the majority is going to rule from the human meme standpoint. Now, according to our government, our Bill of Rights, even though they shred it as we speak. Everyone's supposed to have equal rights. We also know the meme amongst humans has a tendency to flow towards what they feel is the dominant and the majority. That's the reality of the situation. So in other words, homosexuals will be somewhat pushed to the back by the main meme, which is heterosexuality. Now, if you address black people agenda, traditionally in this country, black people coming out of slavery, 1865. It seems, via through movies, magazines, all types of media, internet, the powers that be are very comfortable keeping black sexuality oppressed and suppressed. They just seem to have a problem with it. They seem to have a problem when we're with ourselves, and they have more of a problem when it's somewhat interracial. Now, in the movie Prometheus, the director is 74 years of age. Now, I'm a Ridley Scott fan, but if Ridley Scott really wanted to, he could have put in a little 30-second montage of Idris Elba knocking down that white woman in her bedroom, and it would not have necessarily, you know, messed up the movie. It would have probably made the movie better. That's the reality of it. It was already rated R, so what the hell? Go with it. I think a lot of times that, you know, older people that are in power, they're just not comfortable. They're just not comfortable, and they're holding on to that. They're definitely holding on to that. So, you know, for me, I just need to have what is the gay agenda. I need that addressed. Because me, myself, personally, I don't know what the gay agenda is. Back over to you, Sir Aphelnerd.
Yeah, going into the chat room, friend of the show, Q-Storm, he says a couple of things. He says, I think you're trying to connect the dots between two disparate points. A more proper analogy question would be, why can't we see a black and white man holding hands? Then he says, my point is, your example of Prometheus speaks to interracial coupling being controversial. The ad has nothing to do with interracial controversy. See, I disagree with that. First of all, the gender issue, the same-sex gender issue, if you mix interracial with that, that's so – if you can get past two men holding hands, if you can get past that, I think the interracial element of it is inconsequential. He's making it seem as if, well, there's a tier level to each of the, to all of this. So we have to see a black guy and a white guy holding hands. That is, I'm just speaking from my perception of things. I don't see how that has anything to do with, well, right now we're talking about being able to see black folk in acts of normalcy. And across the board, we're being perceived, if you can see black folks in a dysfunctional set, in a dysfunctional way, somehow we've been able to sell black dysfunctionalism. I've talked about this ad infinitum, Q, on the show. Black dysfunctionalism is a product that one can sell. But when you sell, if we try to sell in an advertisement black normalcy, just seeing a black woman and a black man holding hands, see, I'm actually conflating both of them, interracial and black. Interracial on one level, and black intimacy on another level. Anything with a black ingredient in some normal act is a difficult meme to sell. That's my point. The other point is there's an agenda out there that appears to be making or trying to make what's happening in the same-sex world, pushing that agenda towards a normal deal. That's that's what the two things that have to be put into a certain context, Q. That's what I'm basically saying. I don't think that having a white guy and a black guy, heck, the upcoming X-Men, I mean, it is a graphic novel, a.k.a. comic book. North Star, the X-Man, the mutant, He is marrying in the comic books his black male partner. So they're already doing that. So I don't think that's even the issue. We're talking about black folks being put out there in normal fashion, and that has always been controversial. Black folks as being crazy and out of their minds, or being in a menstrual thing, this has been going on since the early 1800s, Q. If you really look at this from a historical standpoint, when it comes down to selling something with a black face on, it seems to be much easier, much more palatable for the powers that be to see black folks being perceived in an infantilized state. As long as they keep you looking stupid, jigging, not intellectual, not well-spoken, they can sell that. Anything else beyond that, that is what normal folk do, they can't sell that. But they can sell two men holding hands, though, which you would think would be highly controversial. That's all I'm saying. It is Black Music Month, folks, and it would be apropos to play some black music. Let's go into a quick musical break. When we return, we'll move along to another topic. We'll probably have to revisit this. I think there's so much to get into, folks. Again, don't be scared, as I always say. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. You know, let's tap into a little bit more hip-hop. This is a mid-90s joint, appropriately entitled Funk-O-Rama, one of my favorite driving tunes. This is Redman. Funk-O-Rama. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
This is Funk Dr. Spot. As we look at our clock, we're going to take you on a trip to another journey to the dark side. We've conquered new evidence that there is life. My funk prognosis make my brains come a toast. 100% funk runs blood streams through your nose. I don't have to be Madonna to make your eyes freeze. Visines for eyes when you smoke this. But then you need a journalist, scientist. Keep your eye on this, folks. Cosmical, far from logical. I blow the spot up in any hood and boondock. Make the bully of the block move and get new locks. The who kicks that phenomenal, astronomical. That's my 90, you feeling nauseous. That's my rhyming you. I swing folks like new Chuck by game steps. That's cool when I blind fools like Kareem Abdul. Hot like war desire. Sometimes I get off to teach. My folks' speech make words wear sun visors. I'm getting down with the folks in your chunks. There's squads in the house for all you punks.
I'm moving down the block, man, loud. You was a red, red man, was taking the kill. I'm moving down the block, man, loud. You was a red, red man, was taking the kill.
Pray once, twice, I'm dumb, nice. I bring my worst lyrics to a gunfight.
Yeah, yeah.
This top knocked up, that not top. I'm off the meter, I make computers catch amnesia. I'm swiffing their rolling blades on ice capade. I'm feeling like four plus, I'm cool like Hayes. My grandma, slam from here to York, Alabama. I never pull my pants up, I'm nutty like Flanders. My style gets deaf like Ro or deaf like Jeff. Deaf like Jam or Squad or deaf like Lep. 1-2, pick up to my so 1-2. Clock snaps and busts back in the boys and with for you. Who says I can't burst them just like Lisa Lopez?
Yeah.
I cause the ruckus, my area is up. You better off calling them Power Ranger, mother. Cause Red Man will bomb just like the dumb. When I'm loose, I'm worldwide like triple fat goose. Heavenly all.
Well, I just think to save our country, we need to abolish the political parties, make them political action committees. And there's one thing we could do to start off with. Why do we put, and I refer to them as the Democrats and the Republicans, because they call the blue states Democrats. Well, that's also the colors of the Crips, blue. And naturally, the blood's color is red, and the Republican states are called red states.
And for those who don't know what you're talking about, these are two of the most infamous gangs. They started in Los Angeles, the Bloods and the Crips. They want to kill each other, and they wear these colors, the blues and the reds. So you're basically likening the politicians in Washington these days to gang leaders and gang members. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true, and they're worse. Let me explain why they're worse. The Crips and the Bloods, the street gangs, well, they can be devastating to a certain small part of the population. The Democrats and the Republicans, the Democrats and Republicans, they affect everybody in this country. And they've been in charge for over 100 years. So how can they say they're not responsible for the horrible state that our country's in today? Our debt is beyond control. We've got politics now where, as Jeb Bush said, there's no compromise anymore. Nothing gets done. If Obama wants to do this, the Republicans are opposed to it. If the Republicans want to do something, the Democrats are opposed to it. The best thing we could do is on every ballot, remove all gang names and gang symbols. Allow them to only run on their names. That way it becomes important that the voter educate themselves. What does John Smith stand for? And because right now when you go in to vote, if you're conservative, you don't need to know any names. All you need to do is look for Republican. If you're liberal, all you need to do is look for Democrat. You don't even need to know the name of the candidate.
I mean, this will...
All right, folks, that was the voice, or I should say the voices of Pierce Morgan and former governor Jesse Ventura of Minnesota. And, you know, I have to admit, let me go before I go into this, again, just shouting out the last record that we played. That was Redman with Funk-O-Rama from, I think, 95, 96. All right. So, again, Jesse Ventura, Governor Jesse Ventura, talking about his latest book, Democrats and the Republicans. And I have to laugh because it is somewhat of a pretty much it's ingenious for him to even title his book that way. And we'll probably try very hard to get him on the show, believe it or not, to discuss his book. But the notion that, and actually having the color scheme correct, they almost can't be coincidental, Captain, that the Republicans have the same color as the Bloods, and the Democrats, the blue states, are the same color, have the same colors as the Crips. Red versus blue. And I guess his point is that because of the stalemate, the infamous stalemates in Congress with our government, the inability to have certain bills passed, just, you know, we're trying to get a jobs bill passed. We can't get that done. President Obama, that's something that's obviously to his chagrin. He can't see passage on that. It appears that there may be something to what he says. And obviously he has a book about this thing, so he will probably encapsulate and extrapolate what he's talking about. But I find it fascinating, definitely a fascinating notion that this may be a type of gang warfare. And he even goes further and says that what they're doing is more insidious and more dangerous and more debilitating to the populace as opposed to what we know to be with the American gangs. The American gangs that they are affecting. And listen, we talk about this stuff on this show, that there's certainly collateral damage, my favorite term, collateral damage that we see foisted upon communities of color by gang warfare. He's saying that with gang warfare, criminal gang warfare, it's a sliver of society. It doesn't really affect the totality of the American populace. Dealing with an impasse with our politicians, whether they be on the blue team or on the red team, that impasse has far more grievous implications toward the populace than what the Crips and Bloods are doing to black and brown communities. So I just think that what he says is fascinating. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think there's something to it, or is it just him being coy and selling a book?
Well, I think he just tipped upon it. He just gave you the tip of the iceberg. I've said before on this show, everything that you see in the country is misdirection. The reason why you have Republican, you have Democrat, it's controlled by the top, i.e. the bankers. Nothing essentially gets done except what they want to get done. Everything is misdirection. And as you're looking at blaming Republican, blaming the Democrat, what is happening right now? The theft of the country. Where's the money going? Why are you getting poorer and poorer? You're blaming this one, you're blaming that one, everything is getting done, not getting done. You see, when the money is printed by the bankers instead of Congress, it goes around in a circle of motion. So the more they print, the more the money comes back to them. It goes from the bankers to the government to the private organizations to you, the worker. You touch it, and then you let it go, and it goes back to private business, back to government, back to the banker. That's how it goes. And in order for you to not realize that you're being duped, you have to be running around going, oh, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm a conservative, I'm a liberal. You have to be caught up in that. Because if you're not caught up with that, you actually begin to see what actually is going on. And I also said on this show, you're not going to see an independent person, someone who's an independent, even though they have a lot of money. Bankers have the most money. Bankers have $500 trillion. There's no independent individual that's going to come along. They got $100 trillion. $100 trillion, you can get elected. It's not going to happen. So you're not going to see an independent individual, because an independent individual can shake up the ranks. The only way that will happen is the first thing you have to do is kick out the bankers. Then Congress can start printing the money. Once Congress starts printing the money, then an independent individual can step in the ranks and start implementing things for the American people. It can become a true democracy. Right now, what you have is nothing but misdirection. That's why Republicans say, oh, I'm a Republican. That's why Democrats go, oh, I'm a Democrat. That's why the liberals go, I'm a liberal. That's why the conservatives go, I'm conservative. And they're in constant opposition and point the fingers at each other. Remember, when you're pointing a finger, you always have three pointing back at you. Always remember that. So that's misdirection. It's a sleight of hand. It's like three-card Monty. Meanwhile, they're stealing all the money right before your eyes, and you're saying, what happened, this happened, this, oh, you spent this, you spent that. Somebody's getting richer. You're not. You're getting poorer. And that's the game at play. So what he did is, it is actually genius, but he's laying it out. He only gave you the tip of the iceberg of truly what's really going on here in this country, America. So there you have it, Sir Alpha Nerd.
You know, I was listening to what you were saying, and it reminded me of, you talked about like an individual, the possibility of an individual, of someone with a lot of money that might be, and the way this country is built, the way that the political system is rigged, that it would take someone with a great deal of money to create the fervor for an independent party, or a
trillions,
real independent party.
Not billions.
And, well,
not
you
billions.
Might have, I don't know, but I do know that there appeared to be one individual. It's funny that it's almost 20 years to the day. With Ross Perot from Texas. Ross Perot, if you remember the 1992 political campaign, the presidential
Absolutely.
Campaign, he was making a lot of noise. And it looked like he was the one, because he came in and was, you know, there's always someone that has the ability to talk straight to the public. He was a straight talker. But unfortunately, he made some missteps. And he might have been the person that could have shaken up the system. But I remember several missteps. One was with the African American community. I didn't see it as a misstep. And listen, folks, you know I'm forever the contrarian. He used the term "you people." In context, he said "you people." He said, "Listen, you people have been given a raw deal." I'm paraphrasing. That's essentially what he said before an African American audience. We were so caught up. Oh, Captain, it angers me to this day. We were so caught up in him using the term "you people" that we didn't sit there and say, A, he wanted to talk to us straight and say, okay, listen, if we're being tribal now, he took it upon himself to talk to black folk straight up. Boom. But we were so stuck on him saying "you people" that the entirety of the sentence was, because he had a frank way of speaking, that Texas accent, Southern accent. Listen, you people have been given a raw deal. That was like the statement. But we didn't let him get to raw deal. We stuck on, who are you calling you people? That was one misstep. The second misstep was his running mate, Vice Admiral James Stockdale. I believe Stockdale died maybe within the last year or two. But he just was not prepared. He was somewhat of a bumbling person. I mean, he was a military guy, highly decorated, Vietnam prisoner of war. You think of McCain somewhat in the McCain mold, but he just was not a politician. And he came off not well-spoken, a little bit of a bumbler. Those are the two things that came out of my head. But Perot had the money at the time and the interest to shake up the system. And I don't think we will ever see that again. I think we need to explore that. But I think what Ventura is talking about, it's a lot of validity, man. I want to read something quickly. This is from Forbes.com. It says here, this is from Ventura himself, Governor Ventura himself. If you vote for a Democrat or a Republican, you get what you deserve. He says in that signature Ventura vocal delivery, the one fitting of a pro wrestler. Lights up, cameras flashing, little boys and their dads cheering in the stands. We've got an entire political system based on bribery. It's obscene, he says. It's something Ventura, an independent, has been talking about for more than a decade now. Today, that view is mainstream. What's Congress? What's Congress's approval rating? 10%? 15%? Whatever it is at historically low levels. And the most popular Democratic president since Bill Clinton has struggled to top a 50% approval rating for most of his 4 years in office. We all believe the system is somewhat rigged, bought and paid for by a handful of important corporations. ExxonMobil for energy policy and lobby groups, the American Bankers Association for economic and fiscal policies. With the creation of political super PACs, the nonprofits that donate tens of millions to politicians, a handful of wealthy individuals also are given more sway in national and state-level politics. Everyone knows it, including Wall Street. Wow. I wonder who's been listening to Afro Radio. Didn't you just say this, Captain?
That's what I just said.
Almost verbatim?
Yep.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I will say this again, folks. I'm going to try my best to contact the folks that represent Governor Ventura. I think he's an important voice. Unfortunately, you know, the wrestler thing, the entertainment thing, the way that he speaks, what he is talking about, the conspiracy element, he has a whole shtick involved with conspiracy. He has a TV show, True TV's Conspiracy Theory. So when you put that all into a bowl of gumbo, I think he comes off as this eccentric entity. And unfortunately, you know, what he says can have complete validity, but because of the eccentricities, some folk are positioning him to not be taken seriously. That's what I think is what's happening with Governor Ventura. Nevertheless, I want to hear more about it. I'm going to definitely pick up this book, and I'm going to contact his publisher to see if we can get him on the show. Demo Crips and Rebutlikins. I couldn't have said any better. Although I am a conservative, I have problems with it, but I'm a moderate at best. And I am positive that there are folks that are Republicans that would deem me as a rhino, Republican in name only. So it is what it is. All right, folks, we're at the midway point of the show, 7:54 p.m. We have more show to give you. The call-in number, don't be scared, is 646-915-9620. I'm sorry, go ahead, Captain.
Go ahead. I want to say something very radical right now, profound. Okay? You want to free the world? There's about 300 people. You murder them, and each government start printing their own money. Then you can start from there. You begin to free the world from the BS. As long as you're not doing that, everything is just foolishness. Because whoever controls the money supply to a country has control of the country. It's real simple. How is the government not going to be able to print their own money? It's real simple. That's it. There you go. There you go. Back over to you, Afro Nerd.
Okay. Having said that, let's go to musical break before we get shut down, Kathy. Not that what you said isn't true. It's unfortunate. You know, this is Illuminati talk now. But it's not to say that just because someone is paranoid doesn't mean that someone isn't watching it. So I couldn't have said it any better than that. All right, folks, more musical montages. When we get back, we're going to talk about music, talk about Black Music Month, Black Music Month. This is Sela, Super African, featuring Black Nature, live. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
Super Africa, Super Africa.
right, folks, we do not lie. We do try to give you the best in urban alternative music, a game that was Sila, and the Afro-Funk Experience featuring Black Nature, Super African. Definitely check out this group. True funk, funk from the motherland. The origins. We know that George Clinton is heavy. We know that Prince is heavy. We know the Barclays are heavy. I can go on. Ohio players are heavy. But sometimes you have to go to the root. Again, Sila and the Afro-Funk Experience, Super African. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Of course, you're listening to AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. AfroNerd Radio. Next up, I want to discuss Black Music Month. Black Music Month. We're in the midst of it in June. It dates back to 1979 during the Jimmy Carter presidency. And that was his initiative to set up Black Music Month. Now under President Barack Obama, it is African American Music Appreciation Month. Same thing. Anyway, it had me thinking on a number of different levels. I mean, our show, we talk about everything geek-oriented, fantasy, sci-fi, political, independent, conservative, you name it, we talk about it. Somewhat of a gumbo show for those who I would perceive have intellectual pursuits, who like intellectual discourse. And we talk about music. We talk about entertainment. We talk about music from a different perspective, alternative music, and what African-American music once was. There is a demarcation point. And I don't necessarily want to go into this lengthy diatribe about my perceptions of the music today. And I can go into that on any other show. But I do want to talk about a couple of things centered around Black music. One, if you go into the historical record with Black music and all the genres that stem from it is the lifeblood of American music, of American popular music. Let me repeat that. Black music is the lifeblood of American popular music. We can talk about classical music. We can talk about many different musical art forms. But when it comes down to what is truly an American creation, it falls upon what the slaves created and their ancestors up to this point. Whether it's the work songs, the slave songs, call and response, jazz, blues, improvisation, syncopation, barbershop music, swing music, all of that dating back to, dare I say, the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries. Black music is American music, and American music is Black music. So it is disheartening to think of all of the scholarship that one can do in really analyzing music, the nascent part of American music, analyzing it, the African origins. Unfortunately, minstrelsy is involved in it too. If you get into blackface minstrelsy and banjo playing, that's a part of it too. The banjo is an African instrument. Now, we think of it more of a southern-based instrument now, but it really is an African instrument. Christian music, spiritualism, spiritual music, all that is Black music. So it is disheartening to see that I don't see – this is the generation where I see the disconnect with all of that history, all of that heft dating back to the last 200 or 300 years, And where we are now, I do not see the supreme musicianship that where the baton should have been passed. I don't see, if you talk about black pop music today, I don't feel the soul. I don't feel the blues. Because with every generation, there was still the blues, the soul, the funk, the jazz. There was still something there to grab onto from the generation before. This present generation is so mechanized, so disconnected from the instrumentation element of music making, the production of music making. I don't know where we go from here. I guess my question is, where do we go without the lifeblood? You know, rock and roll, as exciting as rock and roll is, dating back to race music from the 40s, race music, R&B music, segueing into what is called rock and roll music, that excitement comes from the blues lifeblood. So we don't seem to have the lifeblood that's necessary for the music to really be something. Captain, any thoughts? I'll go on more into it, but I can go on and on this topic. But any thoughts as to Black Music Month? Matter of fact, a show that we reference quite a bit, The Open Line in New York, they are now on WBLS. And for Black Music Month, they talked about – they actually made a shout-out to their audience to ask them their thoughts on certain songs that they thought were game-changers. They threw out Billie Jean, which I would agree, as far as pop music, making that pop music transition, that Billie Jean was instrumental in Black music being played on MTV. At one point, MTV did not play Black artists. We take that for granted. So there's certain songs. One song that they did not mention, I would have mentioned, would be Strange Fruit by Billie Holiday, which I thought was a definite protest record, a haunting jazz record that was talking about the rampant lynching of black men in the South during the 30s and 40s. There's certain songs that just mean something. We don't see that anymore, Kathy. We don't see anthemic songs. We don't see protest songs. Not from the black experience. Not anymore. So without further ado, what are your thoughts on Black Music Month or just black music in general?
I think Strange Fruit record. I think the Strange Fruit record went over a lot of people's head. A lot of people had just missed them. You know, a lot of people were singing the song and everything, but you know, a lot of people, you know, to this day, you mention that song, they're like, hey, then you tell them what it is, they're like, oh, that's what it meant. I said, come on, you bonehead. Listen to the lyrics, okay? You know? But that being said, the music, as far as the way it's going to go, I think it still has to go lower first. It has to go lower before it goes up. It has to hit rock bottom. Once it totally hits rock bottom and it cannot go any lower, what I mean lower is the talent level, the how simple the music is, you know, the shaking of the booties, everything that's coming along with music, it has to go to this lowest common denominator. We may feel right now that this is the lowest common denominator, but trust me, it can still get lower. And then once that happens, then it will start to rise up, because once you hit bottom, there's nothing more at the bottom but to go up. That's just the way things work. And there you have it, Sir Afrinerd.
Yeah, you know, I said this before. Maybe I don't say it enough, but one of the elements that makes me very proud to be African American, especially when I go back into the history, Captain, is that there's a great deal of dynamism of the dynamic with black culture. And when some folks take umbrage with us, and many have complimented us also in the same breath, we have been complimented as well, I remember certain things musically and other things. And it just seems as if we are missing the dynamic in our culture. When you think of someone like Duke Ellington or Scott Joplin or Miles Davis, Coltrane, Jimi Hendrix, my boy Prince. You know, people wonder, when am I going to bring him up? Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, I can go on and on with some of these artists. Billie Holiday, I mentioned. Ella Fitzgerald. Dinah Washington. These folks, Fats Waller. These folks were dynamic. Little Richard. I mean, they can put on a show. Mesmerizing. And that is the linchpin of the black experience and of black music. And really, it dovetails into other things. I will say this about Barack Obama. Barack Obama, President Obama, is a dynamic guy. It is almost as if he has a light shining over him. Richard Pryor. I can name all types of just political leaders. I can go on and on where there was a certain level of dynamism with black culture, black people, whatever we do. And maybe we've reached a point where there's a shame in us or something, or the self-esteem element is really up high. But whatever we do it big and dynamic. In the musical tradition, it's missing. It's missing. Even with the hip-hop artists, when the hip-hop artists first came on the scene, there was a certain level of the dynamic attached to it. Now, it's dead. Because we have no musicianship. There's no fire in the belly. There's no connection. Even with the early, if we're going to talk about hip-hop, even with the early hip-hop records, they had live bands with them at one point. And if we talk about sampling, the sampling still relied on old jazz records, old breakbeats, old blues records, a great deal of creativity with the sampling. They were unrecognizable. But now, as you said earlier in your first part of the show, anybody can do it. Anybody can do it now, and it comes off that way. You had Soulja Boy a few years ago, who made a hit record in his bedroom. Superman Dat Ho. Superman Dat Ho. So we go from Take the A Train, Captain, to Superman Dat Ho. Something is wrong. And this is not me being of Generation X taking a dump on Generation Y. I'm very much open-minded in wanting to hear new music. We can't get the musicianship with the new music. We can't get that. You know, I promise not to dump so much on Generation Y music, but I think there's other elements going on as to why there's a demise. And also, we'll segue to the next topic. But there's so much to talk about. Also, a lot of things that occurred with black music that would lead to the larger than life element of it was happening as the music was being made, the social, political, and economic turmoil that was going on that was feeding the music. The world is literally cracking in half, Captain, and there's plenty of stuff going on in the world to talk about, and yet it is not reflected in the music, which I find very odd. You think of someone like Curtis Mayfield, who was instrumental. He was the soundtrack for the Civil Rights Movement, along with other soul artists. Otis Redding. This man was phenomenal. A sensation. Jackie Wilson, a phenomenon. I mean, these are folks, James Brown, I forgot him. You see what I'm getting at? I can name at the drop of my hat folks that will leave a stage on fire. Now we have Wiz Khalifa for that. Something is wrong in Denmark. And I'm intellectualizing this, Captain. Something is wrong in Denmark. Something is wrong. When you have a black man in the White House, a black family in the White House, you have the Arab Spring, you have all this turmoil and excellence at the same time going on. There's plenty of enough chaos to write music with. In the 60s, you had a cultural shift. You know, there were moments in history where you could see what would feed the music. There's enough here to feed the music, and yet the music is non-existent. So, again, folks, welcome to Black Music Month. We will play the music here. We will honor the musical tradition. Trust me, we will do that. Why other outlets refuse to do that? Boggles. That's it. Captain, any other thoughts? I think we might want to go into yet another Jammy Jam. And when we get back, I want to talk about this foolishness with the AKAs. and my own fraternity experience, briefly. I don't want to. That might have to be a completely different show on my Kappa Alpha Psi, the Noops, my dealings with the Noops. For those who are familiar with the Black fraternal experience,
Noop Psi.
But these men want to say skiwi, skiwi. These men want to say skiwi, and they want to wear pink and green. Wow. I don't know. I have not, Captain, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. The world's crumbling. All right. Song I played before. I kind of dig it. New artist. I may have to actually do a quick phaser edit on this. This is Mingus Murray. Mingus Murray, Eternal Life. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
Just a dream of mine.
All right, folks, I had to pull out the phaser. We only have about 8 minutes remaining. That was Mingus Murray. Mingus Murray, Eternal Life. New on the scene, I think he's a young man from New York, actually, that is unabashedly heavily influenced by his royal badness. So support him. Mingus Murray. All right, getting back into the fold, 646-915-9620, our call-in number. Remember, folks, we have our full double feature show on Sunday with the Comic Shop first at 6 p.m. and Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk second at 7 p.m. this upcoming Sunday. Running out at the bottom, we're going to talk about this AKA deal. And I'm not talking about also known as, I'm talking about Alpha Kappa Alpha. Now, I am a graduate of Hampton University in Hampton, Virginia. And during one sophomore year, I don't know if things have changed since then, but during one sophomore year, you had to have X amount of credits to be able to pledge a fraternity or sorority. So I was interested in the Kappas. Some may say I could have easily been an alpha man, but the Kappa thing was more of a, you know, listen, for those who are unfamiliar, I may have to do an actual show on black fraternity to really get into it, but to be quick about it, these fraternities are based heavily on personality, vibes. Alphas are considered studious and scholarly, which there's an alpha side to me, but Kappas are the cool guys. They like to dress a certain way, to fashion plates. I can't think of any famous noobs. That's another word for them, noobs. I can't think of any famous noobs at this. I mean, Bill Russell is a Kappa that comes to mind. So these fraternities and sororities have different vibes. Anyway, I had my share of the fraternity experience with the pre-pledge. It's about a month or 2 months of actually going into the preliminaries before you go through the actual process of joining a fraternity. So I'll talk about that at some other time. It's just not enough time to get into that. Anyway, the AKAs, the Alpha Kappa Alphas, sorority, female organization, they're known with their colors, pink and green, pink and green. We have some gay folks, gay males now, that are making the news because they want to join this female organization. Now, this is the door opening that the captain and myself, we've talked about it before, behind the scenes. As much as we admire President Obama, that with him giving his nod to the gay community, now it appears that we're seeing some things that are just, they don't make any sense. This is not discrimination. This is a female organization, Captain. I mean, women should have a place. We must get rid of gender altogether then. No more male-female bathrooms. Everybody whizzes in the same place, male or female. I mean, this is what we're talking about, the deconstruction of gender. And I don't understand what do they want? Why would you want to join a female? You know, now they have joined their own group now, and they're called MIAKAs. I think men with the intention of joining AKAs. I think that's what I think the acronym stands for. It's madness, Captain. I mean, what are your thoughts on this quickly?
Well, maybe these are males, but from their perspective, their gender is female. So that's why they want to join an organization such as that. You know, that's the only thing I could see. You're in a male body, okay, but you feel your gender is female. You behave in a female manner and everything else. Yes, you have a penis. You do take a whiz just the way typical men do, but you're perspective, your persona is female. That's the only logic I can come with. That's the only logic I can come with, which you want to join a female organization who these are females and their gender is female. Not their sex. two different things. It's a play on words here, Sir Afro. It's a play on words. You know, their sex are male, but their gender can still be female. You see? It's a play on words. It's a play on words. It's a play on words here. That's the only logic I can see with it. That's the only logic. That's the only thing I think they could be thinking. That's the only thing I could see. That's it. That's it at the end of the day. That's it. Get your own organization. College is all over the place. You can make all different type of fraternities, especially if you have some money. You know, you can do a few things.
There was a sideline group at Hampton that were called Groove 5 Groove. Mm-hmm. And they actually were able to gain quite a bit of notoriety for creating their own, I think Groove 5 Groove probably still exists. And they were trying to create their own thing away from the traditional fraternal experience. So these men have created this thing. Again, the acronym is Men Interested in AKA, M-I-A-K-A. Quickly reading from yourblackworld.net, says the group, according to collegekid.com, formed an unofficial AKA chapter at Texas Southern University in Prairie View, A&M. They were seen in pictures wearing pink and green, the colors of the sorority, throwing up their pinkies and making the famous skiwi sound that women make in the sorority. Oh, Captain, you got about a minute remaining, just in time. I don't really have any. I can't. You know, I'm gonna throw up some weights after I leave this and get it going. You know, cybergenics. You know my thing. I have a whole Wakandan agenda. I have a Wakandan agenda.
So in other words,
foolishness.
So in other words,
I have no more to say. I have nothing to say.
Your sex is male and your gender is male. Okay, you're clearly defined. Okay.
Yeah.
I got.
I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is. You know, I said before, maybe begrudgingly, I support the same-sex marriage thing because I think it's just if black folks aren't getting married. And they're saying marriage is just on a piece of paper, you know. I try to do it logically, but then this is thrown at me, Captain. All right, enough. Any closing remarks before we get up on out of here?
I have no closing remarks on this one. None.
Fair enough. Folks, we'll be back on Sunday. As always, we enjoy your company. We enjoy doing the show. We will continue doing it. This is I'm Yours by Prince. We'll be back on Sunday.